there's a Harvard study from started in 1938, and they were just going to study aging and look at how people age well. And because they started to get so much data, they've just kept it going. So we get this study on aging that's been since 1938. The one thing is relationships. People who have healthy relationships are going to be healthier people.
Welcome to the Crucible Project podcast. The Crucible Project is a nonprofit organization committed to creating a world of men and women who live with integrity, grace, and courage, helping them to fulfill their God-given purpose. This podcast will discuss important and sometimes difficult topics while delivering practical life applications with men and women who are currently practicing this work. We are igniting Christ-like change in men and women through experiences of radical honesty and grace.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Crucible Project podcast. It's so great to have you back here. We have an incredible guest here today. I'm excited to introduce you to him. It was because of his effort that we even have a presence in Rwanda as the Crucible Project, and he's a leader at his church from Denver, Colorado, and a Redwood with a great amount of experience in soul work, in several ministries through soul work. I know that you're going to enjoy getting to know him. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Great. It's a incredibly beautiful day here in Colorado. So I'm glad to be with you, James, and to join your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I see the sun is shining there.
Yeah, right. It's bouncing off my head just a little bit, but I'm looking forward to getting out there.
Yeah, well, our listeners can't see that, so you're good to go.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Awesome. So Jamie White is your full name. I want people to know that so that as they're looking up what you're doing after the podcast, that they can know that. So Jamie White from Denver, Colorado. I grew up in Denver. I love Denver. And my whole family's still there. So they just kicked me out. So that's just kind of how it goes, right?
Come on back. Come visit.
Thanks, Jamie. Well, man, I'm excited to hear about your story, your journey with soul work. But for people that are listening, maybe in their cars or walking or whatever they're doing, maybe they're saying, well, what is soul work? That word, I don't know if it's as prominent as we use it in Crucible. So could you tell us a little bit about what soul work is?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think it's such a unique offering that Crucible has, and it's an opportunity for an individual to, in a really safe environment, to be able to break through some things that they might be faced with in the moment. It's an environment where you get to go, face to face, mano a mano with somebody, and have them help you. They kind of facilitate your own work, right? This is my work when I do soul work. And I engage another human to help me process that with me. And through kind of just some questions and some great training that they have, they are helpful in getting me to go layer after layer after what's really at the bottom of what's stirring in my heart and what's stirring in my soul, or maybe it's a wound that I'm trying to shed and get some healing from. Maybe it's a challenge that I've been faced for a day, or maybe it's a challenge that I faced for a long time. But I think the key piece for me, when I first did soul work, 2008 was the first year I did soul work. And I've done a lot of it in those years since then. One, it was the first time I'd ever done it. And honestly, the first time I was at that, I was like, okay, this is a little bit weird. And so I kind of sat on the sidelines for a little bit and watched a couple other guys do it. But when it was my turn to step up, I did. And the first time I did it, it really was transformational for me. It changed the trajectory of how I spent the next 12 years. I use this term not to over-spiritualize it. Quote the part of Ezekiel where whoever was talking to whomever at the time, I think it was a deal to Israel, and they said, you've taken away my heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh. And that's what happened to me during the beginning of happening to me in the first time doing some soul work. And it was touching a place that I hadn't been before. And in my case, it was some stuff around my father that I just hadn't really unpacked for years. It was a powerful moment. And since that time, I've had the opportunity to both continue to participate, and something serves with me to be able to stand in that circle with some guys and participate, and also had the great opportunity to facilitate other men as they've participated.
Wow, that's incredible. So a couple things that just I want to hit again as just listening to you talk about soul work, it's difficult probably to find this kind of help or encouragement, if you could call it that, in your normal environment. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, that's what Crucible has done well. You get exposed a little bit to it in your first weekend, but really as you go on to the next phases of Crucible, that you get a chance to really dive into this and take everything that maybe began in the initial weekend and unpack it more over time. And that time might be years, that time might be months. But because we go to so much effort in Crucible to make it a safe environment, a place where you know people have your back, you know where it's confidential. That's the biggest part of all this. So whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever happens in that moment, you know, the old Las Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And that's the same thing for this, but it's a, you know, another level of agreed confidentiality. And then, you know, people are there. They're not there to solve your problems or give you answers. They're just walking with you to allow you to do your work on whatever is stirring in your heart or your mind or your emotion or whatever it is that's going on with you.
I like that. It's not about giving you the answers. It's about walking with you. I really like that. Thank you, Jamie. As we're talking about stepping into soul work, I like how you said, whether there's something that comes up or a difficulty you're facing or a hurt that you have. So these things don't just happen in our past. They happen in our present, right? And so it's almost something that we can continually step into over and over, not just like a weekend. You know, you go to a retreat and come back fixed. It's not like a mechanic shop. Right? It's something you got to continually step into. With anything that has these kind of benefits, I mean, you said it transformed you. That's my story too. It transformed me. Are there some risks that you step into in doing soul work?
I think the initial risk is more of a feeling than it is a real risk. And the feeling that I had was vulnerability. You know, don't know all these guys all that well. I'm about to kind of open the kimono, break the breastplate, whatever you want to say. And that's a scary place to be. And that's not a place I had ventured much, even as an adult. And so I'm in my late 40s and doing this thing for the first time. But I think just to be vulnerable in front of other people was the perceived risk. But I don't think there's much of an actual risk. It's new territory. It's something new to do. But once you've kind of, you know, found your tribe, found your posse, whatever you want to call it, and you feel comfortable in the group, I think it's that thing that you look forward to sort of week after week or month after month, whenever you get the chance to kind of gather and go, you know, just some stuff's been happening with me and I'm checking in. You know, I'm checking in angry today. I'm checking in sad today and challenge, whatever it is, that's that chance you get to kind of go, all right, let me unpack that a little bit more with everybody here. Sometimes you come to this group, you're kind of in a good place, right? Which is awesome. And then you kind of stand in for other men. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's the other perspective. And it kind of widens your perspective to what you can bring to other people as well as what you're receiving. I think sometimes we focus a lot on what we're receiving and not so much on what we could give in a situation like that, you know, to help a brother or there. And there's also the women's side of it too, women's crucible. And so I don't want to leave that out. I know you and me being men, we're going to stick to talking about the men's crucible, but I think women that are listening should know that too.
My wife's done a lot of soul work in her women's ministry and for us to do something separately and come back together and then experience how the other one has experienced healing, movement, whatever that's been. We often refer to our ministries as kind of together, separate. We are doing it different groups in different ways that make sense for us. But when we come back together, there's the benefit of having done soul work individually is huge for us as a couple.
Oh, absolutely. There's no greater thermostat of the transformation in your life than your spouse, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They know exactly. First and they know best.
Yeah. There's been many days where she's like, yeah, I think you ought to go this weekend. It's kind of, you might need to spend a little time on in that group.
Here's some topics you can focus on.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, Jamie, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life today, kind of where you're at and maybe things you're working on.
Yeah, well, it's both an exciting time. It's a scary time, but really more just looking for what's ahead. So I turned 65 last week, and I've announced my retirement at my company for May of 2024. And if I brought up my phone, I could show you my little countdown calendar. So I know exactly how many days, hours, minutes right there that are left. But it's not because I'm ready to go, because I love what I do. Absolutely love what I do. But it's just sort of a fun thing to look at. And, it'll be at that time, it'll be a 44-year career. And it's time to hang up the cleats and let somebody else do what I do. I spent the last, 20 years of this career focused on human resources, and have led that function for a mining company and now an oil and gas. It's been great. It's a great place for me to be. I love the craziness that human resources brings. And as long as people are doing stupid things, I've got a job for a long time. And so there's no shortage of that. I say that kiddingly. Those are some of the high stress things, but I really love the development and the training and the recruiting and then team building within management teams. And we're just walking with people just like we do in a men's ministry. I get to walk with people, and sometimes both the best and worst times of their life, in what I do professionally. So, I know I'll miss it. I'll miss the camaraderie of a management team and the strategy and all the things that we spend hours and hours doing. But I'm also looking to the transition and looking forward to the change. And I have no idea what it's like to not have a job or the need to work. I've had some businesses on my own that weren't a job, but they were things I was trying to get developed. And so, but I have never not had, something to do or work related for 44 years. So that's the fear part, a little bit of that transition. What's that going to be like? And so I've really been preparing for the last couple of years on making that transition work really well. So still got some fear in what's going to happen, how to fill those days, how to live with purpose in that season. And so, yeah, looking forward to what's out there.
Wow, I bet. Well, that's awesome. And we, as we were talking a little bit beforehand, you started a ministry to help people in this kind of transition. I believe it's called Finishing Strong is the name of the ministry. Tell us a little bit about that.
So early 2022, I was involved in a lot of things, involved in a lot of ministries, a lot of activities were going on. And I knew at some point I would be making this transition. I thought it'd be 1 to 3 years. And, turns out it was 2 years from the time. And so I started looking around and observing guys older than I who I was either hanging with or was observing, and watching them make that transition, first of all, and just seeing them, I'd say, wander, kind of float. Literally, I've got a picture I use in Finishing Strong of six older guys just floating in a swimming pool. And I'm like, good for them. Hey, that might be their, I don't have judgment on them because that might be their, one weekend off or whatever. But my observation was, I'm not working today. That's not the end game for me. Not only just as a believer, but as a human. I've got a lot of stuff that I go into this age and the season of life that it's not just about lowering the handicap or getting better at pickleball or tennis or whatever the passion is. But I've always wanted to go, how can I serve something different? How can I use who I am and what I do and what I've done well for something other than myself? And so I hired a coach for me at that time. And it's an author named Bob Goff, who's written a bunch of stuff. He just kind of walked alongside me in this transition. And together we came up with this concept of, he said, Jamie, you're looking for clarity in what you want to do in this next season. And you don't have the answers, but you're out there looking for it. Why don't you start gathering some guys and just do it together? Do a weekend and put guys together for a weekend. And he said, you go to some crazy places spend a lot of time in Mexico. You spend a lot of time in Rwanda. Put them there. Probably Colorado's a great place. Do it there. So out of that birthed what I named Finishing Strong. And, the short story of Finishing Strong is that we help people transition from working full time to something else, whatever that something else is. and give them a chance to live with purpose and a chance to integrate their faith with their purpose. And if they don't have a faith, so be it. They march to something else. But it's really just to allow people a process to go through our workshops. We take the workshop and we divide it. We get a time of past and we look at where we've been and who we are. What's our life story that's created who we are? What are those significant events in our life that make us who we are today? And then we spend some time, you know, HR, I do personality assessments. So, you know, I've chosen to use the Enneagram for our personality assessment. And so we give people the opportunity to do that. And that takes us to kind of through the present. And we've got a couple of other exercises that we walk people through. But then we spend time in transition. A good transition starts with a good ending. You know, and after the good ending, there can be a liminal space or there can just be this interim neutral zone, we call it. And then we move into what's next. And so then we spend the rest of the time focusing on looking at our gifts, our talents, our values, our passions, looking at those all and having some awareness around it. And then how does that end up being our purpose? And how do we take some time and state our purpose? This is my purpose in this next season. And so some people have walked away with I need to think about this more. And other people said, this is it. You know, the light switch went off. This is exactly how I want to do. So it's been really rewarding to walk with other people in that. And we started just with men, but we've now been offering it for women or couples. And we'll be doing those all in 2024 of just offering a workshop, whether it's with a group of people or a church wants to do it or whatever. You know, we'll come alongside them and do a one-day workshop for them.
Man, I love that. As you're talking about purpose, I feel like there's so many distractions around us constantly that drive us away from what our actual purpose is. And if we give into those, if we just live our lives in those distractions, then yeah, we can hide that we even have a purpose or forget that we even have a purpose. And then to hit that retirement age and go, well, now what is my purpose now? What an amazing work that you're doing to be able to help people to say, first of all, my life's not over because I'm hitting retirement. It could just be beginning again. That's exciting.
James, there's a lot. There's both scary statistics out there for those of us who are entering this season, and there's some great statistics. I mean, if you take the whole average age of everybody, you know, born and died, the average age of death for a man in the United States, 78.6 years old, right? So, you know, statistically with just that, I'd say, well, I'm only got 13 years left. I already lived 65 and only got 13 left. But if I'm healthy, fortunately I am here in 65, the stats are a whole lot better that I've got a lot higher probability to live to 90 years old. So how am I going to live the next 25 years in this? And I focus on four pillars in the workshop, and I do everything but financial. Somebody else can do that. And part of that's because I don't bring anything to the table on that. And they really are good people in helping people plan financially or manage finances. And many of the people I meet that come through the workshop kind of have that wired, but they haven't taken care of everything else. And so we break the four pillars down in the future part of the workshop when we first talk about physical. If you aren't or you aren't healthy physically, it's hard to do anything else. That's why when we have the opportunity to have younger guys come to the workshop, we're encouraging them to kind of go, hey, start it now. Start it in your 40s. Oftentimes, if you're waiting to 65, now I'm going to start exercising, you're probably behind. And you probably have got some risk factors here that, you know, haunted you for a long time. And so we take the physical side, we focus on physical health and just give people some ideas of what they might be doing at this season of life, how they exercise, how they eat, you know, how they sleep. I mean, these are these big things that impact how we're going to feel and how we're going to function. We also talk about mental health and challenging our mind. One of the things that happens in this season when we quit having that work challenge is the mind gels. I mean, there's nothing better to say than that. So we say, what are you doing to lean into the mental health stimulation? You learn it. Can you learn a language? Can you learn a skill? Can you go back and take a course? There's so many things out there. And with online, there's so many things free. Take advantage of that. Here's an awful statistic. And I just picked this up a few weeks ago. The average retiree spends 8 hours a day watching TV. Come on. You've just replaced work with watching TV. And oftentimes it's Fox News or CNN. And all you do is get lathered up or, you know, the weather. And you just sit there and in a chair and you worry about things that you can't control. And nothing's getting better with you doing that. The sedentary life leads to so much sickness and depression and loneliness and all those things. So we give them tools in the physical side, and maybe with less time with each, we talk about the importance of the spiritual health. And there's no question, lots of stats out there that if you've got a faith, whatever that faith is, if you have a faith at this season of life, you're more healthy than you are if you don't have a faith. It gives us a purpose. It gives us, biggest thing, it gives us is hope. Whether that's eternal hope or whether it just gives us hope for what's happening in the craziness of the world, that faith can ground us and bring us back to trying to make some sense out of what we see going on in the world. And then the third pillar we talk about is that community, and this such the importance of relationships at this season. There's a Harvard study started in 1938, and they were just going to study aging and look at how people age well. And because they started to get so much data, they've just kept it going. So we get this study on aging that's been since 1938. And you can narrow, I've got all the different summary points from that study, but the one thing, you know, the kind of the old city slicker movie, the one thing that's important is relationships. People who have healthy relationships are going to be healthier people. They're just going to, and whatever you define successful retirement or this successful season, it's going to be better for relationships. And that's when I use the Redwoods, the example we use on the weekends and talking about these giant trees that sit against the ocean and are bashed and battered. And they're just these huge trees. And they go, oh, well, then they must have giant roots that go deep, deep, deep down into the ground to keep them growing and stable. But as you know, that's not how the roots grow. They grow very shallow and they grow sideways and they connect to the other trees. And that illustration is just so good for why we have community. And being in Crucible is one of the great places for that, that there's this connection and it's a place to be real. It's a place to grow. And as you know, we have relationships in the ministries that go on for years. And it's a core part of who we hang out with. And then finally, the last part, we talk about living with purpose. There's lots of good stuff out there, whether it's spiritually, and it's Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. But there's also some great secular stuff out there about the importance of living with purpose. And so I kind of cobble those things together and have people take a look at what some great authors have said. And then we go through an exercise. So at the end, ideally, they walk out with a purpose statement.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible! It's so obvious that these pillars that you're talking about are things that it doesn't matter what generation, no matter what age you're at, these are things we need to be focusing on, things we need to think about. It's never too early to make your life better, right?
Yeah.
It's never too soon to start thinking about these things, and I love that. I just love that refocusing your life. To stop wasting the time that we have, the small time that we have here on earth, and really start reaching out and creating that community, that purpose and health and all those things, how you spend your time. Well, speaking of time, we have a couple more minutes. I'd love to hear how you connected with Rwanda. How did that happen?
Well, it started in 2019. My wife and I went over to visit a school that we had supported, and a lady from Colorado started a school called Hope Haven, Rwanda. And they started with 15 kids around a tree in this very, very poor village. And today there's 1,700 kids at this school, and 80% of them are boarded in the school. And this has just been over 10, 12 years that they've accomplished that. So incredible story. We went over to be a part of that. I got connected with a pastor when I was over there. I was telling him about men's ministry and the impact that an intense men's ministry can have on men. And he's like, hey, can you bring that to Rwanda? I went, sure. Yeah, gather 15 guys and we'll be over there. And so I've been doing that with a couple of men's ministries that we brought over there. And Crucible, we did our first weekend in May of last year, had a great turnout. We actually went to the school where it started going to Hope Haven, and they hosted us. We had a lot of rooms for guys to come to, and we had some guys from some Redwoods from Kenya that came over and helped lead it, and then a few of us from the U.S. that went there, and it was just a powerful weekend. That's a culture where vulnerability is not easily experienced over there. So, but having the Kenyan guys there and modeling and walking through kind of what this looks like was awesome. And so since then, I know that kind of this is all post COVID. Kenya had to get their feet back under them and did a few weekends over there. But one of our leaders from Rwanda just got through going over and helping with the Kenyan weekend. And so we're hoping in 2024 to bring another weekend back. So looking forward to that. And I was just there doing a finishing strong weekend. I had a lot of guys go, hey, when can we do a Crucible weekend again here? So looking forward to helping with that. Yeah.
Man. Wow. Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Jamie. This has been exciting, and man, God is doing stuff all over the world, and I know he's going to keep using you, and it's exciting to see all the impact and the change that's happening. And man, that's a frontline ministry. Finishing Strong is a frontline ministry that I'm excited to hear about. Is there anything final thought that you'd like to share?
No, I really appreciate you guys having me. I've been doing, as part of Finishing Strong, I've been podcasting people in this season of life. And so it's kind of fun to be on the other side of the microphone with you. But you did a great job, and really appreciate the time together.
Awesome, Jamie. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for listening in. If you're a part of our podcast, or if you're just trying this one out, we hope that you'll stay connected with our Crucible Project podcast. And man, just like Jamie said a little earlier, our life isn't meant to be lived alone. We're isolated. Let's do like those redwood roots, and let's reach out to each other. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
For more information about our weekends, please go to thecrucibleproject.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Rate and review wherever you are listening, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Also, don't forget to check out myjourneyto.com for your free 2-week trial. That's myjourneyto.com. Thank you for listening.